Good evening, everyone. My heart is really glad just to be able to just have a night where we can really worship God. As I was worshiping Him, I just had to stop and say, Lord, may these things that I sing, not just sing them because we have a praise evening, but Lord, may I sing them because I mean them. So even as I utter these words, I just ask you to join me as I pray and as I share this message with us this evening. So God, heavy words, let my deeds outweigh my words. Lord, may this be true in our lives, that God, we live lives that are committed to you, lives of absolute surrender to the sovereignty of God. I pray, Lord, and thank you for the fact that our lives, we're not just giving them away to a God who is not worthy, but to a God that promises us so much more. And God, you've given us so much more. And as we hear of it this evening, I pray, God, that you'd soften the hearts of those who are receiving your word. I pray, Father, that even if there's one, Lord, who isn't sure about where they stand before you, I pray, Father, that today may be their day of salvation. May they leave this place, Lord, knowing that their life is in your hands. And Father, they are a child of God. May this be true in their lives this evening. And I pray for the rest of us, as we hear this message once again, I pray, Lord, that you just encourage us, and that, Father, from this we will just be spurned to just worship you all the more, knowing that truly you are a good God. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I must be honest. When Uncle Eugene asked me to preach the gospel, I was a bit confused. I almost was hesitant, and I almost wanted to refuse. The reason being, I mean, it's almost like a pastor or youth worker doesn't want to preach the gospel. Maybe you should reconsider. But I thought of how joyous an occasion this is. We come together and we worship God and we're singing songs of praise, but I'm thinking the weight of this message. When he asked me to share the gospel, I just thought that although the gospel message is this joyous message, although the gospel message is a message that is triumphant and is a message that is so glorious, it is also a message that is offensive. It is a message that is heavy and it is a message that calls for a response. Spurgeon said this, and yet strange to say, gentle as the gospel is, and inoffensive as its professors have proved themselves to be, when they have acted rightly, not resisting evil but submitting to it, whatever it may be, yet there has never been anything which has caused more disturbance in the world than the Christian religion. Whenever the gospel has been preached, there's been a shake. There's been a movement. People have been offended. Lives have been changed. That is the weight of this message. This evening, I'm sharing the gospel. The gospel that I'm here to share is a gospel that calls for a response. It is the gospel that calls all who have heard it or all who hear it to repent. Repent from a certain way of thinking. Repent from a certain way that you've lived your life and come to Christ. The gospel cuts deep as the Spirit convicts the hearts of those who hear it. And I'm calling for you this evening. Jesus gave everything that we would be reconciled to Him and worship Him, you know, in all obedience. But we so often forget this. We so often get caught in our lives, and we so often get caught in the business of school or the business of work or just the business of life around us that we lose sight of the beautiful message of the gospel. I think sometimes we also fall guilty when we hear somebody say that, okay, this evening I want to share the gospel. We almost switch off because you're like, I've heard this many times before. I hope that this reminder this evening would call you to respond. We'll call you to either respond to repentance and come to Christ, or we'll call you to respond to worship. Let us worship the Lord this evening. Let us worship Him in fear, and let us worship Him in reverence, and let us worship Him in awe, because the Lord is worthy of it all. I thought of a story of an old, a homeless man. A homeless man who finds himself in court. This homeless man is found guilty for committing mass murder. As he steps into the court, the judge is satisfied with the evidence that has been presented, and he's ready to say to this homeless man that I find you guilty. The verdict for the crimes that you have committed, you are guilty. your sentence for these crimes will be execution. You will not spend life in prison, but you will be executed. Death will be the reward for your heinous crimes. A man storms into this courtroom. I wanted to make it dramatic, but the story is a bit heavy. But just think about kicking down a door. All right, a man storms into the courtroom and says to the judge, "Judge, wait. This man was the family member that this homeless man had killed his family, and this is one of the family members." He walks into the courtroom and says, "Judge, I will take his place. I will be executed for this man who killed my family. Give him my life. Give him my belongings. Give him my home." The judge announces to the homeless man, "You are innocent. This family member will then be guilty. The death penalty that was once yours will be given to this innocent man." That is the gospel. As sheep, we were headed to the slaughter, and Christ came in to rescue us. The righteous judge had already dropped the gauntlet and looked at us and said, "You are guilty. For your sins, you will spend eternity in hell." If death came knocking on your doorstep this evening, the just result for the sins that we have committed is a life spent in eternity, burning in hell for our sins. But God, being rich in mercy, and because of his great love, he stepped in. He kicked down the doors and says, "I will take his place." Jesus stepped in and said, "Take my life instead, and those who look on me should be saved." A father works on a bridge, or we call it a bridge station. And what would happen is as a ship would be passing, he would open up the bridge for the ship to pass. And as soon as the ship passed, he would close the bridge to allow the train to pass. Now one day, this father decided that he will take his son with him to go experience this thing where he would see this bridge open and he would see this big ship go past and he would watch this bridge close and he would watch the train go past. And you can imagine this little kid is excited. Number one, I'm going to work with my dad. And number two, I get to see a ship. I get to see a train. As the ship came by, the father said, "You can go outside and you can watch the ship." And as the son went out and he watched the ship go by, he then just started playing with the gears of the bridge. And as the ship went by, the father gets a call that there's a train on the way, and he closes the bridge. And as this bridge is closing, he hears screams, and the train is kilometers away. He knew something. He couldn't stop the bridge from closing because many lives were on that train. So he sat there as the bridge closed and as his son was screaming for his life and as the train went by, the father sat and heard his son scream to death. That is the gospel. The father watched his son die on the cross for our sins. The son cried out from the cross as his blood ran down the wood. His father cried out, the son cried to the father, "Father, Father, why have you forsaken me?" And the father turned his back on his son as his son gave his life a ransom for many. That is the gospel. That is the message that we proclaim today. The message of death that brings life to all those who hear it and believe in him. How will you respond to it? May I be as bold as to give you a reason, or may I be as bold to give you a response? Worship him. Worship him. Worship him. God expects your worship. His righteous deeds demand your worship. His faithfulness daily should compel you to worship. His godness is worthy of worship. Maybe you're sitting here and you're not sure about your eternal destiny. Maybe you're sitting here and you're not sure if you walked out those doors and you died, where will you spend eternal life?
The Bible says that whosoever believes in him, that he is God and that he died on the cross for your sins and was raised to life, to him who believes in this is given eternal life. He and only he has the right to be called the child of God. Only those who believe in the Son who gave himself a ransom for many. If you already believe in this, won't you think about this message anew? Won't you think about the gospel afresh? Won't you think about this marvelous sacrifice as if you heard it for the first time? As if you just believed and you just realized that you have life. Not just life here, but life eternal. Won't you worship him tonight with your voice? As you continue worshiping him, my prayer and my hope is that the voice levels would go another level higher as we think about the sacrifice of our Lord. Not just worship him tonight, but won't you worship him for the rest of your days? Not just with your voice, but with your life. There's a song that Jeff and his wife beat me to it, but it's really one of my favorite songs. It says, "Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there is no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes, a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar." To wrap this time up, Psalm 69 verse 30 to 31 says, "I will praise the name of the Lord with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox or a bull with horns or hoofs. For that is worship worthy of a great sacrifice, that we would give not only our voices to him, but our lives to this great God." That is the gospel. Let's pray. Father, a message so heavy and yet a message so beautiful. Father, my prayer is that your spirit would be at work this evening. Father, as I just attempted to plant the seed, I pray, Lord, that your spirit would give the increase. I pray, Father, that I wasn't a hindrance to the message of your gospel, but I pray, Lord, that now your spirit would continue the ministry of reconciliation, bringing lost man back to yourself. Father, I pray for even those who are here, Lord, and they're just feeling broken, or those who, they know you, Lord, but they're just feeling lost, and they're just feeling burdened and overwhelmed. Father, let them know that they too can come to you, because God, you calling them as well. As we worship you this evening, Lord, may we sing aloud with thankful hearts for this awesome sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. May it not only reflect in the way we sing, but Lord, I earnestly pray that it would reflect even in the ways that we live. Father, as we walk outside of these doors after this evening, may we be as bold as to take this message and share it to those who haven't heard. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.